Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Describe your perfect date.
That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th. Because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Happy April 25th, folks. I know you thought we were going to come in hot with some SCOTUS stuff, but I had to get that out of the way. Miss Congeniality, one of the funniest parts of that movie. Great movie. April 25th is the perfect day for a whole bunch of legal stuff to be dumped into our lap. We've been listening and watching this morning as the Supreme Court immunity trial has been unfolding in front of us. And I wanted to bring to you the latest reaction here from my favorite Supreme Court source. Let's listen to what Shannon Bream.
It's quite a party atmosphere out here with demonstrators on both sides of this conversation, but it was much more somber inside. You're correct in that former President Trump did not get clearance from the New York judge to be here, so he wasn't here, but Jack Smith certainly was. And when he walked into the courtroom today, it was with a real seriousness about the proceedings. Yesterday we had an abortion case that was much more heated and fiery among the justices. Today they were sort of plodding through this, everybody probably talking about that line from Justice Gorsuch that they're writing a rule for the ages, and they seem to have the real weight of that on them today as they went for an extended period of time, extended rounds of questions with both of the attorneys, very much weighing this. And yes, it may come down to public versus private, and as Paul said, that may wind up sending this case back below for further proceedings that, again, would be a win for the Trump legal team because it would just further delay this. This case has been expedited. I'm not sure we're going to have to wait till the end of June for it. Justices seem today very read in, very, very targeted with the questions that they were asking. They've talked about the enormous volume of briefs that they've gone through. So to get to this argument today was really, it felt like inside a somber moment, very quiet, very judicious, everybody getting their time, nobody interrupting, kind of like they were yesterday. The real action is obviously here outside.
Yeah.
And now we wait. They'll take a first private vote on Friday behind closed doors.
All right.
So Shannon Bream, yes, outside in front of the Supreme Court and just giving us the lay of the land there. I listened to, especially the beginning part, probably the first hour or so of these hearings, and the attorney for that was leading on the Trump side, John Sauer, he gave some opening remarks. Let's listen to some of them.
For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office.
So the court, or excuse me, the folks advocating for the presidential immunity to apply here to Donald Trump's actions, there is a point where each of the different charges, each of the different acts were put in front of John Sauer, and he was supposed to say, like, official act or private act. And really, it seems as though that's what the question comes down to. What is determined to be an official act? Because a lot of what Donald Trump has been charged with, the Trump attorneys are arguing that he was doing such things in the office, in his authority, in the presence of being the president of the United States. There's a presidential official act. And then you heard some of the justices questioning back to Sauer saying, you know, okay, what about a president who appoints an ambassador to wherever? And that's an official act. But what if the president appointed Brad Range to be the ambassador to, where would you be the ambassador to?
England.
Yes. All right. if Brad Range was appointed to be the ambassador to England, but because Brad Range promised the president, if you make me the ambassador, I'll give you $1 million. So that would be bribery. Is that an official act or is it a private act? Because there's a special private interest involved in executing that official act in a particular way. So that really is the crux of the concern that is facing the Supreme Court right now, is, in my opinion, based on what I've heard, and we will verify with Hans von Spakovsky in about 13 minutes from now, the question that is at hand is, what is an official act and what isn't? Here's the President Trump speaking on the issue.
I think that the Supreme Court has a very important argument before it today. I would have loved to have been there, but this judge would not allow that to happen. I should be there, but he wouldn't allow it to happen. I think he puts himself above the Supreme Court, which is unfortunate, isn't it? But the argument on immunity is very important. The president has to have immunity. This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with a president in the future, for 100 years from now. If you don't have immunity, you're not going to do anything. You're going to become a ceremonial president. You're just going to be doing nothing. You're not going to take any of the risks, both good and bad. I mean, you're going to make some great decisions and save the country. You're going to make some decisions which are unfortunate, but that's the way it is. But you're not going to do anything if you don't have immunity, because otherwise you're going to be prosecuted after you leave office.
So I understand what the president is saying there. I understand that the president needs to not be hamstrung in making the decisions for the country that is best for the country. They can't be in a position where they're going to be in fear of the opposite political party post-presidency coming in and trying to prosecute them for these things that they did in the best interest at the time with the knowledge that they had on behalf of the country. And then, of course, the counter argument is, but how do you know that that's what they were doing and it wasn't for their own personal benefit? Well, that's for the Supreme Court to decide, and we will watch and see what happens as that unfolds. At the same time, there have been documents that have been unredacted. In the Florida case, Judge Cannon has released documents that allude to the fact that there is coordination between the Biden administration and the Department of Justice on the prosecution of Donald Trump in the documents case in Florida. Does that make you mad? If you're somebody who is trying to watch a fair and impartial justice system work with the political party that is the opposite of the other guy who is running for president? Does it make you mad at all to know that the guy who is the president of the United States is making phone calls and having meetings to discuss potentially digging up dirt and prosecuting somebody who is the leading political opponent? Because that's exactly what they did to Donald Trump when they impeached him over the Zelensky call, because they said it was something that was being orchestrated around the leading political opponent, who wasn't even the leading political opponent at the time, Joe Biden. But he just somehow or another, remember when Joe Biden didn't have a fighting chance, and then the next day they were like, Joe Biden's our guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, Beto O'Rourke got off standing on the bar for that? Really? Seems fishy. That's the question. I know that we have the Supreme Court thing going on. I know that we have the non-hush money trial going on in New York with Alvin Bragg. But that documents thing is the story that is of the most interest to me right now.
The thing that blows my mind about it is, why did they feel the need to, like, if that's all normal and that's regular, why did you feel the need to redact that stuff? Mm-hmm. Why was that hidden behind the black bars on the paper?
We'll ask Hans. There is an allegation of coordination between the Fulton County, Georgia case mm-hmm. and the White House. Colangelo, who is the lawyer who is directly at the epicenter of what's going on in the Alvin Bragg case, is that right? Colangelo is the one who was there, I believe, in the Manhattan trial, was an advisor in the White House, and he left that job to come handle this. Seems very connected. Seems to me, because I'm not smart enough to understand how all of these things work in the legal system, seems conspiratorial, but maybe that's a complete and total reach. And we'll ask Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation what his opinion is on that here in a little less than 10 minutes. There are a lot of issues facing Americans today that have nothing to do with Donald Trump and his legal challenges. It's interesting to watch the whole news cycle wrap around Donald Trump and his legal challenges mm-hmm. to know that the Biden administration has a very, very huge interest in the outcome of these, and know that the main story people are talking about isn't the American people. Wouldn't that be the way you would want it if you were Joe Biden?
Yeah, I wouldn't want people looking at my job performance if I was him. It's been an absolute disaster. I wouldn't want people looking at his foreign policy that has put us into or adjacent to two very hot wars that are basically starting to rip the country apart if you look at college campuses across the land. You know, you go to buy stuff from the grocery store and you can't buy as much stuff as you used to buy on the salary that you've had. He talks about, oh, we've created all these jobs, but real wages haven't kept up with the inflation rates. Oh, yeah, inflation comes down, but inflation compounds. It's 3% over last year's 9%, over the previous year's 9%. So you start adding those together, and you go, holy crap, no wonder stuff costs a fifth more.
Keep the focus on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to see here. There's a building that's on fire behind him. Nothing to see here. Look at that man over there. He's the alternative.
Just ask myself, like, what is the percentage of American voters who are in play? That's the YouTube poll today in a roundabout way. We're asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, can Trump win New York? Yes or no? This morning, it was like 6 a.m. Mm. The sun was up, but Donald Trump was out meeting with a bunch of union members, laborers, and they loved him. And that was obvious. He's in New York. He continues to use the lemons he's been given to make some lemonade. And there are people who are showing up who are not supposed to be, when you're looking on paper at demographics, these are people who are not supposed to be Trump supporters. They're supposed to be people who are blind followers to the Democratic Party. Axios put out a poll today, and this is an Axios tweet. Americans are open to Trump's harshest immigration plans. Half, including 42% of Democrats, say they'd support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants per a new Axios Vibes survey by the Harris Poll. 42% of Democrats support mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. This is an enormous piece of information, because if 42% of Democrats say that the people who are here should be shipped and deported back home, those people are not going to be okay with having more people come across the southern border due to this president's policies. Their eyes are wide open. They are awake. They're not necessarily going to vote for Donald Trump, but they do know that the current situation is untenable. And that matters. In New York City, in Manhattan, in Harlem, are these people happy with the way that this president has led the country? Are they happy with the way Governor Hochul has led the country? Are they happy with the way de Blasio ran the city? Are they happy with the way Adams is running the city? And I look at Adams and I think, man, that guy has pushed back more than anybody else in the Democrat Party, in my opinion, has pushed back against his party and doesn't get any support for it. There's rumblings that the Donald Trump campaign is looking to get Madison Square Garden to have a rally in support of police officers, law enforcement, teachers, laborers in Madison Square Garden. Can Trump win New York? Not will Trump win New York, but can. He's there right now. He's kind of held captive to the city because of these trials that he has to show up. Put New York in play because of these farcical lawfare charges that they have against Donald Trump. Worth a shot. And when you're looking at New York City and the people and the walks of life that are represented in New York City, they got everybody. You can speak to any community through New York City. And if that's where the Democrats and potentially the Biden administration, if they've worked together with the Department of Justice to try to make these things happen, to set the stage and to draw the lines of where this competition is going to take place, I think Donald Trump should give it a shot. The numbers I keep hearing are 30% of New York City goes to Trump. He can win New York. 30%. I speak those.
Wow.
I speak that language because that's the way Illinois is.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a shot. Where's Joe Biden? What's Joe Biden doing? Not much for these people. His policies, while he skips right over New York City and goes to his vacation home and goes to visit the beach, meanwhile, he's leaving the American people behind, and they're really, really aware of it. I think we're past the they're starting to notice. No, we notice. We see it everywhere. It's hard to escape. Can Trump win New York? Yes or no? Tell us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We're going to take a quick break. I don't want to waste any more time getting to Hans von Spakovsky about all of the legal questions that you and I both have. Let's get some answers to them when we come back. If you have a question you want to know from Hans, throw it in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat, and maybe I'll get to it when we have that discussion.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up next. Don't go away.
Aileen Cannon
has seen all of these allegedly 32 records that Donald Trump kept, national defense information that threatened the security of the country. She has seen these. And I feel like this is her motive to unseal as much as possible. She just ordered the unsealing. I don't know if we have time to talk about it now. She just ordered the unsealing of accusations and evidence of prosecutorial abuse by Jay Brett, who led this investigation early on and then was tasked to special counsel team when Jack Smith was appointed in November of 2022.
Wiggins!
That's not the right intro. Let's get to Hans von Spakovsky. Ryan's like, what? Already it's 12:30. It's not 12:45. Hans von Spakovsky is on with us right now. We've got an intro for you. We'll play it later during Wiggins' segment. Is that okay with you, Hans? It's good to have you back.
Fine.
It's good to have you back on the show. There's so much to talk about. And the one story that I think is getting glossed over right now, and we'll get to the big stuff here after this, is the unsealing of some of these documents. And they're talking about prosecutorial abuse in that documents case in Florida with Judge Cannon. What can you tell us about what that means, the unsealing of the documents and what it has shown us?
Well, it's shown us that all the claims by this White House that they had absolutely nothing to do with the Justice Department, the special counsel's prosecution, Trump in the classified documents case, the FBI raid, that's all one big lie. The National Archives, apparently in DOJ, were working with the White House counsel's office throughout all of this. And their fingers seem to be all over this. In fact, you know, one of the documents we've seen is that almost as soon as President Trump left office, the National Archives started working with the White House on making claims that President Trump had mishandled classified documents. So they were on to him almost immediately, and rather than contacting the former president and his staff to say, oh, listen, you guys, we think you took some classified records with you. No. They're talking to the Biden White House, who should have absolutely, what do they have to do with the responsibilities of the National Archives? They're the ones responsible for the records of former presidents. So I just said, this just shows what, again, no surprise, right? What liars the Biden White House is filled with?
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's pretty jarring to see the unredactions of these documents and to understand what they mean. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, DOJ lawyer as well. If we're reading between the lines as to what this actually does mean, immediately there was coordination from the Biden White House to pin something on Donald Trump. I mean, isn't that what it boils down to?
Oh, yeah, I think it does. And it brings into question, of course, the way they went after Donald Trump or going after Donald Trump, but have completely let Joe Biden off the hook for all the classified documents he mishandled, not just after he left the vice presidency, but when he was in the U.S. Senate, when he had absolutely no right to access or take these classified documents home with him or anywhere else.
So I'm always trying to piece these things together, and I never know if I've got my finger on the right thing or if I am so far into left field. So that's why I like to ask you these questions, so you can straighten me out a little bit. In the documents case with the National Archives, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, we have some new documents that show that there was some, I don't know if collusion is too strong of a word, between the Biden White House and the National Archives there to get Donald Trump. I recall hearing in the Fulton County, Georgia, Fannie Willis drama series that we got to watch for a while, that there were questions about people who were going to Washington, D.C. and asking questions surrounding if there was any cooperation or collusion between the Georgia case and the White House. And then also, is it Colangelo in the
right.
Bragg trial? There's another connection in that one that is take somebody who used to be in the White House and inserted them right in the middle of this trial. I mean, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, don't tell me it's not a duck. What are we looking at here? What are the implications of what we're seeing as far as connections to Joe Biden, the White House, and maybe a larger plan here?
Look, the White House counsel's office apparently has been involved in, was also in meeting with the prosecutors down in Georgia. Colangelo, the assistant DA who's prosecuting the New York case, worked in the civil rights division of the Justice Department, took a pay cut, a pay cut to go to New York to prosecute this case. The Biden White House's fingers are all over three separate cases that are clearly designed to get Joe Biden's rival, the person he's going to be running against, in November in the election. And all their denials to the contrary, all the documentation that's coming out, particularly things revealed in the case, the ethics motions filed against Fannie Willis, show that all of their claims to the contrary, they've been lying about all of this. And it's another sign of the way law enforcement is being abused for political targeting, as opposed to an objective enforcement of our laws. And of course, as you know, all of this is important to certainly this federal case that we're talking about, or classified. All of this is relevant to the arguments that just finished in the U.S. Supreme Court today. We had almost 3 hours of arguments. They only ended about 45 minutes ago, Annie, over whether a president has immunity from a former president from criminal prosecution. And that's an issue that the Supreme Court's going to decide and is going to have a huge effect on this case down in Florida.
Yeah. The implications of what the Supreme Court rules, or if they remand it back to the courts, however this concludes, will have a huge effect on Donald Trump. But as Trump has pointed out many times, every president, including the current one, to come, because it's quite a big ruling. And it does change the way a president would do his job if they had to fear political prosecution once they leave office. You know, I'm thinking about tying all of these. When I think about all these cases together, the immunity question that is in front of the Supreme Court today included, I cannot help but every single time go back to the Adam Schiffs and the Nancy Pelosi's of the world when they were impeaching Donald Trump, just beating it into our heads that Donald Trump was looking to dig up dirt on his main political opponent in that phone, that, you know, perfect phone call with Zelensky, of all people. They impeached him over that because they said that he was essentially trying to interfere with an election, and they're doing the exact same thing to Donald Trump, in my eyes, unless I don't understand it, right now, calculated, perfectly timed, right before the election. How can a rational person not see it as politically calculated election interference?
Well, I don't see how they couldn't see it unless they just want to deny reality. In fact, look, you know, I actually wanted to laugh, but it's not really funny. Look, today in the Supreme Court argument, some of the questions that were being asked, particularly by Justice Kavanaugh, were, look, if a president doesn't have immunity from criminal prosecution, a former president, what's to stop politically motivated prosecutors from going after that former president, something that we're seeing right now? And, you know, the Justice Department's answer was, oh, there are all these different layers of checks and balances on these prosecutors, and they have to go to a grand jury. And all I could think about was, oh, yeah, at this Justice Department, the layers like Merrick Garland, one of the most politically minded AGs we've had in ages, or Oh, yeah. The protections of a grand jury, like the one down in Atlanta, where remember the chairwoman was doing all these media interviews, yeah, bragging about how great it was to be on this grand jury because they got to interview and indict all these famous people.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be the check to prevent bad prosecutors and grand juries from going after people on a political basis. Yeah, right.
You know, especially for the front half of what we heard this morning at the Supreme Court, a lot of the question seemed to surround itself around what determines an official act from a private act. Do you feel like we arrived at an answer to that question today, or is that still to be determined?
No, I think, Anna, you've put your finger on how I think the Supreme Court is going to decide this case. Because remember, the government, the DOJ was there arguing there's no immunity at all. Whereas Trump's lawyer was, I think, taking the much more reasonable approach of saying, look, there's immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts, not personal acts. And as you said, there was question after question after question. Well, how do you figure out whether something is an official act of the president or something personal? And I think what we're going to get from the court, now I would predict, is they're going to say there is immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts. And I think they're going to set out some kind of rule for how to figure out whether something was an official act of the president or a personal act. And I think what they're going to do with this case, I think they're going to set that rule out and they're going to remand or send the case back to the lower court, the trial court, and say, you need to have a hearing to figure out with this indictment of Trump, what were personal acts and what were official acts, and all the official acts have to be stripped out of the case.
So if it goes back, if they set the rule, it gets remanded back to that court, that's going to take quite a bit of time. And
yes.
I think Andy McCarthy was kind of hitting this hard today on Fox. So I want to give him credit for teeing this question up for me, for you, is that there's this like pressure to get all this stuff done before the election so people can have the information that they need in order to vote in November. But that's kind of a false premise in that the process will take the amount of time that the process needs in order to have justice prevail. And in no way, shape, or form are any of these trials bound by an election date in reality.
That's correct. You cannot allow an election date to prejudice the substantive due process rights of a defendant. And that's what they are trying to do. Let me tell you the real reason they don't want the trial delayed, certainly of these federal cases, because they're afraid that Donald Trump will get reelected and that when he becomes president, he's going to tell the prosecutors to drop these cases. That's what they're afraid of.
And the president of the United States, when he is elected, can just tell them to drop the cases and they're dropped?
Yep. He's the commander in chief. He's the top law enforcement officer of the United States. And if he tells the attorney general to drop a case, the attorney general is obligated to do it.
Vote Trump. This is me. Anyway, Hans, thank you. I have like 3 more hours of questions to ask of you, but we appreciate the time that you've given us so far and look forward to talking to you again, because every week there's just this whole mound of stuff today, certainly all before noon here in St. Louis even. So thank you for being with us and lending us some of your afternoon. We're really grateful for it.
Sure. It was nice talking to you.
You as well, Hans. Thank you so much. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC Commissioner and DOJ lawyer. Great to speak to him. His book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Great reading. Check it out. Learn a little bit about how elections were changed legally in many cases and how they are holding on to that in order to maintain the status quo. Hans wrote the book on it. You should read it. We're going to take a quick break. 7 phrases to make new friends at any age, says Ryan Wiggins in Wiggins America. Next, right here on the Annie Fry Show. You looking to make some new friends? Wiggins has some suggestions for you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I can honestly tell you the last time I heard that play, I had a heart attack. I ran around the corner and went, Ethan, you almost destroyed me there. And he was like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, I know, but you know, I had to tell somebody.
I had to blame Ethan anyway.
Yeah, anyway, thank you very much for
full
that
disclosure.
Intro.
Those two hotkeys are right next to one another on the board.
You know what I would do?
Move them? Yeah. I'm looking at other stuff that I can move out of here that we
put Wiggins America up in the right corner and make it big and a different color.
I'm just sad that I didn't get to see Hans von Spakovsky's face when that played, and he was like, what the heck is this?
I know. I had been out there talking, and so I was walking back to my office, and I heard it. I'm like, oh, no, did I misjudge the time? Thank you very much, Brad. This is Wiggins America. It is 12:49. These are phrases.
We're done with the time check.
Yeah,
that you can use. I know. I'm very used to it, though.
Get on with it.
It's a crutch.
he says it everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go to the store. It's 12:47.
Yep. And she's like, wow.
12:48. You still haven't told me what you want.
It's really late. I'm going to go to the 24-hour grocery store. These are phrases to help you make friends. So if, for instance, you're walking around the grocery store at 12:48 a.m. And you're like, man, I'm lonely. I need some friends. These are ways to get into great conversations.
These are pickup lines for hookers.
You know what? They kind of are. But
are there any grocery stores open at 1 a.m. anymore?
That's a great question. Somebody asked me the other day if I went shopping late anymore because I used to love it. And I said no because during COVID, they started shutting down at like 10 o'clock.
24-hour schedules for businesses, I miss that.
I do too. So I don't know. I haven't even tried. Maybe they're open again 24 hours and I don't know it. I do love sleeping. I can know that. So this is the first one. Tell me whether or not you think you could use this phrase to make friends, Annie.
Okay. Yeah, I'm short on friends.
I love your blank. Where did you get it? And you can fill in the blank with anything you want. Anything you want. So this
I
seems...
love your nose. Where did you get it?
Oh. Now, I don't know that that would make you friends.
Is that different? Oh, okay.
A little bit different. Yeah, I love your some other body part.
Man.
Where'd you get? Did you buy that? Do girls
in the
use this?
Grocery store at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
This isn't going to go well.
Do girls use this more? Like, oh, I love your usually some sort of clothing item.
Yeah, but it's usually not used in a nice way.
It's not? Is it like a backward
have you ever seen
insult?
Mean Girls?
Yeah.
It's like a whole part of Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your skirt. It's so vintage. And then she talks later about how she uses that to gain control over people. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Ryan,
that's terrible.
Ryan's shocked. Yeah, it really do be like that sometimes.
Ryan's
for,
like, you
for
just
girls.
Told me you loved my skirt and that it was vintage.
Yeah.
It is. It's
and Ryan's
beautiful.
Like, I took it at face value.
It flows.
I got this at Old Navy in like 95.
With your beard.
I didn't have a beard in 95. I couldn't grow one yet.
I like your beard.
Where did I get it? I got it at Just for Men. No, if you look, I'm not coloring it. Number two is how.
I was going to say, what did you do after you bought the box?
Yeah, just stared at it.
Hey, I have a whole head of gray hair, so.
I'm coloring in my head. How do you like blank? So this is asking somebody if you're at a coffee shop, it says, you can ask them how they're liking their drink. This is a way to make friends, Brad.
Oh, my gosh.
This is why you guys don't have any friends. You're laughing at these.
Brian, what? Did you read this before you came on the air?
Of course I did.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I read all these and done most of these. Do you have any recommendations for blank? This is actually one of my favorite ones.
This sounds more like a recipe for small talk. Like how
I kind of agree.
How to do an icebreaker, how to talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a good one, right? Do you have any recommendations for good books or movies? Everybody's willing to talk about that.
Everybody's willing. If a stranger came up to me and asked that, I'd say no.
Every conversation.
I hate that you're right. I've seen that. If a stranger walks up to you and goes, hey, you seen any good movies? I'd be like, what the heck?
Who are you?
I'm at the library, buddy.
I'm right that would be weird, or that I'm right that I would say no?
Both.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Both of those are
yes
true.
And yes thing. Yeah. The thing about it is like if you're really going to ask somebody a question, it has to come off as genuine, which if you want it to come off as genuine, you actually have to be genuine. And to be genuine, you have to know a little bit about something. Like it wouldn't make sense to ask you, like, what books are you reading? Because I don't know that you
talk about books.
Yeah, I don't
the
read.
The Life of Human.
Yeah, I would just talk about my own book.
Let me tell you about...
I don't read, but I write. Ryan would go on and on about The Life of Human, which is his book that he wants you to buy because you can support his family buying, and he won't stop talking about The Life of Human by Ryan Wiggins.
I would go on and on about The Life of Human by Ryan Wiggins.
The only way that these work is if the person understands that you know a little bit about them. So if you want them to understand that, that means that you actually have to do a little effort, put a little effort in and learn about them.
Real question. We're all in our 40s here.
You're darn right.
I hate it. Are we all like you probably are?
Just talking to Brad here.
Yeah. Are we looking for new friends?
That's the thing that this article says that I found interesting because all of the ways it suggests they're a little awkward. But it says a whopping 58% of American adults report being lonely, and here's the one that really caught me. Every 7 years, people lose half their friends, it says.
Every 7 years? I mean, like, I'm not saying I don't want new friends. I'm not turning that opportunity down, but I'm not looking. It could happen.
Okay.
But I'm not seeking and searching.
We're all about the same age, roughly in our late 30s, early 40s.
False.
I'm just making a broad statement here. Are we maybe in the stage where we are just busy with life and things, and we are not looking for friends, we've made friends, but then maybe do you go back into that phase?
Oh, I'm sure. Because, I mean, with friends, friendship comes commitment. My best friends, I don't see very much.
Me either.
Because they're doing the same things that I'm doing. Something will come up and maybe you'll be like, oh, hey, you just like continue this never-ending conversation where you might drop a funny meme or send a note that, hey, this happened, or... I sent to one of my lifelong girlfriends just the other day. Somebody had sent me a picture. They had found a yearbook, and it was a yearbook that I was my senior yearbook. I hadn't seen it in a long time, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I saw this!" Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Ooh, will you take a picture of the senior superlative page?" And I read through all of them. I was like, "I can't. I don't think I can post it on social media forever. I don't know that everybody would be okay with like, oh, here were our hopes and dreams 22 years ago.
Oh yeah,
and." But it's really funny. And I just texted it to her, and her response was, well, we tried. But I mean, like, it's just a drop. And then we might not text again for months.
It's very true. I just saw a good friend of mine last night. We went to see Veruca Salt, which I mentioned yesterday. But I hadn't seen him in months. And it was
Veruca Salt?
Yeah. And you know what? One of the things I said to him to break the ice, I said, hey, Ty, I'm always looking for new friends to try/do a particular activity. Would you be interested? That's number 7 on the list.
Yeah.
And it just got us talking. Uh-huh. It just got us talking. We're like, we're old friends.
You wouldn't have had anything to talk about otherwise.
Right. Yeah, we had nothing to talk about. Blank made me think of you. I've been meaning to reach out. How have you been? I led with that, and then we had a great time.
I'm just saying. Seeking friendship, I think you go through periods of your life where you are open to the idea of bringing more people in. I care deeply about the people who are my friends right now. I don't see them very much. I know they feel the same way about me, and if we don't see each other, there's no like, gosh, they haven't reached out, or like, there's just, I'm trying to keep my head above water.
One of the best types of friends, and I'm sure everybody's got at least one of these people, is the person you haven't talked to in months or even years at times, and you just pick right back up with them like you haven't missed a minute. Yeah. Those people are great.
Yep. And that's pretty much the circle right now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. You guys can use these if you want.
See how many friends you can make.
If you don't use these on me, I will still be your friend, but not as good
of a friend.
You know
what we could do? You could just interview Tyrus. We can come back and see if you can make him be your friend
by
the end.
Yeah, can I please?
No, absolutely not, because he is my friend. Tyrus, probably. When we come back, don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.